Chapter 12. Ask the bishop. Oh, but you are a fool, and you did. I met Vado again at court today, and I observed he had a sword on. I fancy he was broke, and has got a commission, but I never asked him. Vado, I think his name is, yet Parvisol's man is Vettel, that is true. Bank stock will fall like stock fish by this bad news, and 2 days ago I could have got £12 by my bargain. But I do not intend to sell, and in time it will rise. It is odd that my Lord Peterborough foretold this loss 2 months ago, one night at Mr. Harley's, when I was there. He bid us count upon it, that Stanhope would lose Spain before Christmas, that he would venture his head upon it, and gave us reasons, and though Mr. Harley argued the contrary, he still held to his opinion. I was telling my Lord Angelsia this at court this morning, and a gentleman by said he had heard my Lord Peterborough affirm the same thing. I have heard wise folks say, an ill tongue may do much. And 'tis an odd saying, see I guessed right, and I got credit bit. Thrice I guessed wrong, and I kept my credit on. No, it is you are sorry, not I, 26. By the Lord Harry, I shall be undone here with Christmas boxes. The rogues of the coffee house have raised their tax, everyone giving a crown, and I gave mine for shame, besides a great many half crowns to great men's porters, etc. I went today by water into the city, and dined with no less a man than the city printer. 6. There is an intimacy between us, built upon reasons, that you shall know when I see you, but the rain caught me within 12 halfpenny length of home. I called at Mr. Harley's, who was not within, dropped my half crown with his porter, drove to the coffee house, where the rain kept me till 9. I had letters today from the Archbishop of Dublin and Mr. Burnage. 7. The latter sends me a melancholy account of Lady Shelburne's 8 death, and his own disappointments, and would gladly be a captain. If I can help him, I will. 27. Morning. I bespoke a lodging over the way for tomorrow, and the dog led it yesterday to another. I gave him no earnest, so it seems he could do it. Patrick would have had me give him earnest to bind him, but I would not. So I must go saunter today for a lodging somewhere else. Did you ever see so open a winter in England? We have not had 2 frosty days, but it pays it off in rain. We have not had 3 fair days these 6 weeks. Oh, faith! I dreamt mightily of M.D. last night, but so confused, I cannot tell a word. I have made Ford acquainted with Lewis, and today we dined together. In the evening I called at 1 or 2 neighbors, hoping to spend a Christmas evening, but none were at home, they were all gone to be merry with others. I have often observed this, that in merry times everybody is abroad. Where the deuce are they? So I went to the coffee house, and talked with Mr. Addison an hour, who at last remembered to give me 2 letters, which I cannot answer tonight, nor tomorrow neither, I can assure you, young women, count upon that. I have other things to do than to answer naughty girls, an old saying and true, letters from M.D.'s must not be answered in 10 days. It is but bad rhyme, etc. 28. Today I had a message from Sir Thomas Hanmer, to dine with him. The famous Dr. Smalrich, 9, was of the company, and we sat till 6, and I came home to my new lodgings in St. Albans Street, 10, where I pay the same rent, 8 shillings a week, for an apartment, 2 pair of stairs, but I have the use of the parlor, to receive persons of quality, and I am got into my new bed, etc., 29. Sir Andrew Fountain has been very ill this week, and sent to me early this morning to have prayers, which you know, is the last thing. I found the doctors and all in despair about him. I read prayers to him, found he had settled all things, and, when I came out, the nurse asked me whether I thought it possible he could live, for the doctors thought not. I said, I believed he would live. For I found the seeds of life in him, which I observe seldom fail,
and I found them in poor, dearest Stella, when she was ill many years ago,
and tonight I was with him again, and he was mightily recovered, and I hope he will do well, and the doctor approved my reasons. But, if he should die, I should come off scurvily. The Secretary of State, Mr. St. John, sent to me to dine with him. Mr. Harley and Lord Peterborough dined there too, and at night came Lord Rivers. Lord Peterborough goes to Vienna in a day or two. He has promised to make me write to him. Mr. Harley went away at 6, but we stayed till 7. I took the secretary aside, and complained to him of Mr. Harley, that he had got the Queen, to grant the first fruits, promised to bring me to her, and get her letter to the bishops of Ireland. But the last part he had not done in 6 weeks, and I was in danger to lose reputation, etc. He took the matter right, desired me to be with him on Sunday morning, and promises me to finish the affair in 4 days, so I shall know in a little time what I have to trust to. It is 9 o'clock, and I must go study, you little rogues, and so good night, etc. 30. Morning. The weather grows cold, you saucer boxes. Sir Andrew Fountain, they bring me word, is better. I will go rise, for my hands are starving while I write in bed. Night. Now Sir Andrew Fountain is recovering, he desires to be at ease, for I called in the morning to read prayers, but he had given orders not to be disturbed. I have lost a legacy by his living, for he told me he had left me a picture and some books, etc. I called to see my quondam neighbor Ford. Do you know what quondam is, though? Comma, and he engaged me to dine with him, for he always dines at home on opera days. I came home at 6, writ to the Archbishop, then studied till past 11, and stole to bed, to write to M.D. these few lines, to let you know I am in good health at the present writing hereof, and hope in God M.D. is so too. I wonder I never write politics to you. I could make you the profoundest politician in all the lane. Well, but when shall we answer this letter, number 8 of M.D.'s? Not till next year, faith. Oh Lord, Beau, but that will be a Monday next. Cod, so, is it? And so it is. Never saw the like. I made a pun t'other day to Ben Portlack 11, about a pair of drawers. Poe, said he, that's my nay dash all over. Pray, pray, Dingley, let me go sleep. Pray, pray, Stella, let me go slumber, and put out my wax candle. 31. Morning. It is now 7, and I have got a fire, but am writing a bed in my bedchamber. 'Tis not shaving day, so I shall be ready early to go before church to Mr. St. John, and tomorrow I will answer our M.D.'s letter. Would you answer M.D.'s letter, on New Year's Day you'll do it better, for, when the year with M.D. gins, it without M.D. never lins.
These proverbs have always old words in them, lins is leave off.
But, if on New Year you write nonetheless, M.D. then will bang your bones. But Patrick says I must rise. Night. I was early this morning with Secretary St. John, and gave him a memorial, to get the Queen's letter for the first fruits, who has promised to do it in a very few days. He told me he had been with the Duke of Marlborough, who was lamenting his former wrong steps in joining with the Whigs, and said he was worn out with age, fatigues, and misfortunes. I swear it pitied me, and I really think they will not do well in too much mortifying that man, although indeed it is his own fault. He is covetous as hell, and ambitious as the prince of it. He would fain have been general for life, and has broken all endeavors for peace, to keep his greatness and get money. He told the queen he was neither covetous nor ambitious. She said if she could have conveniently turned about, she would have laughed, and could hardly forbear it in his face. He fell in with all the abominable measures of the late ministry, because they gratified him for their own designs. Yet he has been a successful general, and I hope he will continue his command. Oh Lord, smoke the politics to M.D. Well, but, if you like them, I will scatter a little now and then, and mine are all fresh from the chief hands. Well, I dined with Mr. Harley, and came away at 6. There was much company, and I was not merry at all. Mr. Harley made me read a paper of verses of Prior's. I read them plain, without any fine manner, and Prior swore I should never read any of his again, somebody would be revenged, and read some of mine as bad. I excused myself, and said I was famous for reading verses the worst in the world, and that everybody snatched them from me when I offered to begin. So we left. Sir Andrew Fountain still continues ill. He is plagued with some sort of bile. January 1. Morning. I wish my dearest Pretty Dingley and Stella a happy new year, and health, and mirth, and good stomachs, and FR's company. Faith, I did not know how to write FR. I wondered what was the matter, but now I remember I always write PDFR. Patrick wishes me a happy new year, and desires I would rise, for it is a good fire, and faith is cold. I was so politic last night with MD, never saw the like. Get the examiners, and read them. The last 9 or 10 are full of the reasons for the late change, and of the abuses of the last ministry, and the great men assure me they are all true. They are written by their encouragement and direction. I must rise and go see Sir Andrew Fountain, but perhaps tonight I may answer MD's letter. So good morrow, my mistresses all, good morrow. I wish you both a merry new year, roast beef, minced pies, and good strong beer, and me a share of your good cheer, that I was there, or you were here, and you're a little saucy dear. Good morrow again, dear sirs, one cannot rise for your play. At night, I went this morning to visit Lady Carey and Lord Shelburne, and they made me dine with them. Sir Andrew Fountain is better. And now let us come and see what this saucy, dear letter of MD says. Come out, letter, come out from between the sheets. Here it is underneath, and it will not come out. Come out again, I say. So there. Here it is. What says presto to me, pray? Says it. Come, and let me answer for you to your ladies. Hold up your head then, like a good letter. There. Pray, how have you got up with presto, Madam Stella? You write your 8th when you receive mine. Now I write my 12th, when I receive your 8th. Do not you allow for, what are upon the road, simpleton? What say you to that? And so you kept presto's little birthday, I warrant. Would to God I had been at the health rather than here, where I have no manner of pleasure, nothing but eternal business upon my hands. I shall grow wise in time, but no more of that. Only I say amen with my heart and vitals, that we may never be asunder again 10 days together, while poor presto lives. I can't be merry so near any splenetic talk, so I made that long line, and now all's well again. Yes, you are a pretending slut, indeed, with your 4th and 5th in the margin, and your journal, and everything. Wind, we saw no wind here, nothing at all extraordinary at any time. We had it once, when you had it not. But an old saying and a true. Hate all wind, before and behind, from cheeks with eyes, or from blind. Your chimney fall down. God preserve you. I suppose you only mean a brick or two. But that's a dead lie of your chimney, being carried to the next house with the wind. Don't put such things upon us. Those matters will not pass here. Keep a little to possibilities. My Lord Hartford, 12, would have been ashamed of such a stretch. You should take care of what company you converse with. When one gets that faculty, 'tis hard to break oneself of it. Jemmy Lee talks of going over, but quando? I do not know when he will go. Oh, now you have had my 9th, now you are come up with me. Mary come up with you, indeed. I know all that business of Lady S. 13, will nobody cut that D-wise throat? £500 do you call poor pay for living 3 months the life of a king? They say she died with grief, partly, being forced to appear as a witness in court about some squabble among their servants. The Bishop of Clare showed you a pamphlet. 14, well, but you must not give your mind to believe those things. People will say anything. The character is here reckoned admirable, but most of the facts are trifles. It was first printed privately here, and then some bold cur ventured to do it publicly, and sold 2,000 in 2 days. Who the author is must remain uncertain. Do you pretend to know, impudence? How durst you think so?
pox on your parliaments. The archbishop has told me of it, but we do not vouchsafe to know anything of it here. No, no, no more of your giddiness yet. Thank you, Stella, for asking after it. Thank you. God Almighty bless you for your kindness to poor Presto. You write to Lady Gifford and your mother upon what I advise when it is too late. But yet I fancy this bad news will bring down stocks so low that one might buy too great advantage. I design to venture going to see your mother someday when Lady Gifford is abroad. Well, keep your Rathburn 15 and stuff. I thought he was to pay in your money upon his houses to be flung down about the, what do you call it? Well, Madam Dingley, I sent your enclosed to Bristol, but have not heard from Raymond since he went. Come, come, young women, I keep a good fire. It costs me 12 pence a week, and I fear something more. Vex me, and I will have one in my bedchamber too. No, did not I tell you but just now, we have no high winds here? Have you forgot already? Now you're at it again, silly Stella. Why does your mother say my candles are scandalous? They are good sixes in the pound, and she said I was extravagant enough to burn them by daylight. I never burn fewer at a time than one. What would people have? The deed burst Hawkshaw. He told me he had not the box, and the next day Stern told me he had sent it a fortnight ago. Patrick could not find him t'other day, but he shall tomorrow. Dear life and heart, do you tease me? Does Stella tease Presto? That palsy water was in the box. It was too big for a packet, and I was afraid of its breaking. Lee was not in town then, or I would not have trusted it to Stern, whom yet I have befriended enough to do me more kindness than that. I'll never rest till you have it, or till it is in a way for you to have it. Poor dear rogue, naughty to think it teases me. How could I ever forgive myself for neglecting anything that related to your health? Sure I were a devil if I did. See how far I am forced to stand from Stella, because I am afraid she thinks poor Presto has not been careful about her little things. I am sure I bought them immediately according to order, and packed them up with my own hands, and sent them to Stern, and was 6 times with him about sending them away. I am glad you are pleased with your glasses. I have got another velvet cap, a new one Lord Herbert 16 bought, and presented me one morning I was at breakfast with him, where he was as merry and easy as ever I saw him, yet had received a challenge half an hour before, and half an hour after fought a duel. It was about 10 days ago. You are mistaken in your guesses about tailors. I did neither write that on noses nor religion. 17, nor do I send him of late any hints at all. Indeed, Stella, when I read your letter, I was not uneasy at all, but when I came to answer the particulars, and found that you had not received your box, it grated me to the heart, because I thought, through your little words, that you imagined I had not taken the care I ought. But there has been some blunder in this matter, which I will know tomorrow, and write to Stern, for fear he should not be within. And pray, pray, Presto, pray now do. No, Raymond was not above 4 times with me while he stayed, and then only while I was dressing. Mrs. Fenton has written me another letter about some money of hers in Lady Gifford's hands, that is entrusted to me by my mother, not to come to her husband. I send my letters constantly every fortnight, and, if you will have them oftener, you may, but then they will be the shorter. Pray, let Parvisel sell the horse. I think I spoke to you of it in a former letter. I am glad you are rid of him, and was in pain, while I thought you owed him. But, if he would buy you another, or anybody else, and that you could be often able to ride, why do not you do it? 2. I went this morning early to the Secretary of State, Mr. St. John, and he told me from Mr. Harley that the warrant was now drawn, in order for a patent for the first fruits. It must pass through several offices, and take up some time, because in things the Queen gives they are always considerate. But that, he assures me, 'tis granted and done, and past all dispute, and desires I will not be in any pain at all. I will write again to the Archbishop tomorrow, and tell him this, and I desire you will say it on occasion. From the secretary I went to Mr. Stern, who said he would write to you tonight, and that the box must be at Chester, and that some friend of his goes very soon, and will carry it over. I dined with Mr. Secretary St. John, and at 6, went to Dartonoff's house to drink punch with him, and Mr. Addison, and little Harrison, 18, a young poet, whose fortune I am making. Steele was to have been there, but came not, nor never did twice, since I knew him, to any appointment. I stayed till past 11, and am now in bed. Steele's last Tatler came out today. You will see it before this comes to you, and how he takes leave of the world. He never told, so much as Mr. Addison of it, who was surprised as much as I. But, to say the truth, it was time, for he grew cruel dull and dry. To my knowledge he had several good hints to go upon, but he was so lazy and weary of the work, that he would not improve them. I think I will send this after 19, tomorrow. Shall I before it is full, Dingley? 3. Lord Peterborough yesterday called me into a barber's shop, and there we talked deep politics. He desired me to dine with him today at the Globe in the Strand. He said he would show me so clearly how to get Spain, that I could not possibly doubt it. I went today accordingly, and saw him among half a dozen lawyers and attorneys and hangdogs, signing of deeds and stuff before his journey, for he goes tomorrow to Vienna. I sat among that scurvy company till after 4, but heard nothing of Spain, only I find, by what he told me before, that he fears he shall do no good in his present journey. 20. We are to be mighty constant correspondents. So I took my leave of him, and called at Sir Andrew Fountain's, who mends much. I came home, and please you, at 6, and have been studying till now past 11. 4. Morning. Morrow, little dears. Oh, faith, I have been dreaming. I was to be put in prison. I do not know why, and I was so afraid of a black dungeon. And then all I had been inquiring yesterday of Sir Andrew Fountain's sickness I thought, was of poor Stella. The worst of dreams is, that one wakes just in the humor they leave one. Shall I send this today? With all my heart. It is 2 days within the fortnight, but maybe MD are in haste, to have a round dozen. And then how are you come up to me with your 8th, young women? But you indeed, ought to write twice slower than I, because there are 2 of you, I own that. Well then, I will seal up this letter by my morning candle, and... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.